Recording.
We're holding on page Nunhei in Baba Basra, the third line, middle of Ois Chof Dalet. We started learning yesterday about the order of the Sfarim of Tanakh, and we started talking about who wrote each one of them. Moshe Rabbeinu, the five Chumashim, and the Parasha of Bilam, which we talked about various possibilities, what that means, and Sefer Iyov, which the Gemara is going to go on in great detail soon and use that as a jumping off point to talk all about Iyov. Yeshua wrote his own Sefer Yeshua, and the last eight Psukim of the Torah, which we're going to discuss soon, that there were different opinions about that. Shmuel wrote Sefer Shmuel, and Sefer Shoftim, and Sefer Rus, and now we continue. David Kosef Sefer Tehillim Ayde Asoras Kain. David wrote Sefer Tehillim, and he used in it the contributions through, meaning using the contributions of ten Kainim of before and during his times. They are Ayde Adam Rishon, the first contributor to Tehillim from before David's times so you have really the 11th one, Marsha says, because you have the 10 plus David himself. On the other hand, Rashi on Tillim, Marsha points out that Rashi at Tillim, on the beginning of Tillim, actually learns differently and has a different list than in Or Gemara over here. He takes out a couple of the names in our list and puts in David and Shloima as well. In any case, so the 10 that the Gemara lists over here, Ayde Adam Rishon. First of all, you have Kapitel Kuf Lamed Tes. That was originally written by Adam. And it has various references in it to Hashem creating Adam in the first place. For example, Rashi quotes the passage, Gomi ro einecha, your eyes saw my unformed state. Meaning, in other words, Adam, before Hashem made him, when Hashem made him originally as a golem, as a piece of clay, and then afterwards put in a shamatim, vayipapap of nishmas chayim, so Hashem saw him also when he was in that unformed mass of clay state. So only Adam could say that, because only he was created in that way. And you have other psukim in that kapitel also that refer v'lima yokru re'echa keol. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that refers to that Adam was shown in with Ruach HaKodesh, the future generations of the Jewish people, and he was happy to see the Torah of Rabbi Akiva and very sad to see how he was killed by Kiddush Hashem. So that's another pasuk so various psukim in that kapitel were written by Adam. When we say that David wrote them using Asaras Kenim, many times then what it means is the original one, for example, here, Adam Edition, wrote the capital in some form, and then David rewrote it or re-edited it in his times and made it part of Tillim. This capital, after all, Capital Kuf Lamed Tes, begins on Atzeach, the David Mizmer. So it is by David, but if David took what Adam had written 2,500 years earlier and rewrote it and made it a capital Tillim. The Pashas Adam gave to Mr. Shelach, who gave to Shem, etc., and it went down from generations.
70 years, no?
What? Adam Rishon gave 70 years to Adam. That's also true, right? Yeah. Adam Rishon gave 70 years to David. That's also true, right? So the Gemara mentions that altogether you have a grand total of seven people, where between them you have the entire human history from Adam Rishon until now. Adam saw Mr. Shelach, who saw Shem, who saw Yaakov. So there's not a lot of there's not that many links in the chain that you need in order for a capital that was written by Adam to come down to David. So that's the first one. Vayidei Malkit Tzedek. The second one is Malkit Tzedek, usually identified as Shem. We find Kapitel Kuf Yud of Tillim, Ne'um Hashem Ladoni Shev Leimini, and you have a Kapitel Kuf Yud, and a few psukim in, it says, after Choyin La'olam al Divrasi Malkit Tzedek. That Hashem says to Avraham, it refers to Hashem says to Avraham that you will be a Kohen because of the words of Malkit Tzedek. So the Gemara is understanding that Malkit Tzedek himself wrote that Mizmer and about Avraham, and again, eventually it came down to David, and he incorporated it into Tillim. Vayidei Avraham, then there's Avraham himself. The Gemara is going to explain soon that Kapitel Peites, Maskel Eisan HaEzrachi. The Gemara is going to explain that Eisan HaEzrachi is a nickname for Avraham Avinu. Again, that capital, you look at Capital Pei Tes, it talks about Hashem's promises to Malchus Beis David and how it's going to last forever, and now we don't seem to see it because there's no kings of Beis David. So obviously David didn't write that, Avraham didn't write those exact words. But we're saying that David re-edited it and made it part of Tillim. In other words, the core of that Mizmer comes from Avraham. by De Moshe. Another one is by Moshe. You have to, first of all, the Gemara is going to explain later, the Kapitel Peches, Maskele Haman HaEzrachi. The Gemara is going to explain soon that Haman is a name for Moshe Rabbeinu. But in addition, we also have Kapitel Tzadik through Kuf, were all written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The first Tzadik begins, Tfilah LeMoshe, Yisraelikim, and the Medrash explains that he wrote 11 Kapitel Achtilim corresponding to 11 of the Shvatim. He didn't make one for Shimon because he didn't give Shimon a separate bracha. In the Zosa bracha, that in turn, because of what happened in Shittim with Zimri and all that, but he gave a separate bracha to each of the other 11 Shvatim, and then he wrote a kapitel that corresponds to that shape. But in Medrash Tilim, it goes through a few of them, and the first few of them, and explains how they correspond to the Shvatim. Tzadik, for example, which talks about Shuvah, Tosha, Venash, Adaka, corresponds to Reuven. Tzadik Aleph to Yehuda, and it goes through and explains how. Now, among them also, by the way, you have Mizmer Shiliyem HaShabbos. It says also that Adam wrote that as well. So again, it would have to mean that it went through three different composers. Adam wrote the core of it. Moshe incorporated it into his 11 kapitlach, rewrote parts of it and included it in his 11. And then David, in turn, rewrote it yet again and included it in Tilim. With an example, by the way, of Kapitel Tzadik being rewritten, is you have the expression in the Yemesh Nesen, Behem Shivim Shana, V'imigvurtas Shemonim Shana. An average person lives 70 years, a strong person lives 80. Moshe Rabbeinu himself lived to 120. How could he write such a thing? So we have to understand that Moshe did not necessarily write that original pasuk. He wrote something else, and then David, when he incorporated it into Tehillim, updated it kind of according to the lifespan of his times. Although I think there are some Mephoshim who say maybe Moshe did write it. Look, before Moshe was 80, he didn't know there was going to be anything special about himself. Only when he was 80 years old is when the Eidusha told him to go to Paris. So it could be. He might have thought, but Derech HaTeva, he's going to live to only 70 or 80 years old. He had no way of knowing at that point that he's still going to have a great career ahead of him. So the idea would be, the standard understanding is that David wrote them with Ruach HaKodesh. That David had Ruach HaKodesh to foresee the Korban and other events like that and wrote about them. On the other hand, I did mention yesterday a concept that the Malbim says maybe not necessarily, maybe some of these Kapitlach were indeed written later. He says as long as the Nevuah, it was valid to write Kapitlach Tehillim, and in fact he attributes some of them to as late as the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. I once saw also a very interesting idea, at least as far as the Kapitel Al Naris Bavel, which openly talks about the Churban and about Bavel's role in it. I once saw an interesting explanation. I think it was in Das Sofrim on Tilim. I don't remember. He says, you know, in David's times, they fought against various Goyish nations, Bavel apparently being one of them, and there were individual Jews who wound up in captivity in Bavel. So you may well say that they wrote a Kapitel and David incorporated it into Tilim about how much they missed Eretz Yisrael, but not talking about the Churban per se, because it wasn't a Churban, just their own personal goal. But David, realizing with Ruach HaKodesh that it's going to apply to the Jewish people, are going to be in the same situation hundreds of years later, then he incorporated that composition into Tilim as well. Yeah, okay, well, that's fine. Well, that's what we're going to say all stuff over here, but yeah. Okay. So anyway.
If they had done
Shuvah, obviously there wouldn't have been a Churban, but still, you know, it's all better, like the Rebbe talks about when it says, Vayomas Shom Moshe, which we're going to talk soon about in the Gemara. The Moshe Rabbeinu expected that the Jewish people would daven on his behalf, and he shouldn't have to die, and in that case, Vayomas Shom Moshe would come true in a ruchnistic sense. He would fall from his high level, and it would be considered Misa or something like that. So yeah. Okay, onward. Va'idei Haman. Then there was a kapitel written by Haman. Now the Gemara is going to ask soon that Haman is a name for Moshe. So in that case, it's repetitious. We'll see. But anyway, kapitel Peches is Maskele Haman HaEzrachi. Va'idei Yedusun. Then you have a number of kapitlach that are attributed to Yedusun. He was a Levi who lived in the times of David HaMelech. He and his family are mentioned in a few places in Divrei Hayomim. Va'idei Osaf, and then you have Osaf, a bunch of kapitlach that are masculine Osaf. Va'idei Shloisha b'nei Korach, and then you have the three sons of Korach who are named in Parshas Vayera, Asir, Okana, and Avi Yosef. We have several kapitlach until him, Mamnaseach b'nei Korach, and other phrases like that. So those are the ten. Tosfos brings a different gersa that has the name Shloimer. And according to that, because we have Kapitel Ayin Beis of Tilim is Shloimeh Elokim Mishpatecha Melech Tein. The Pashtus, that would mean that it was composed by Shloimeh. And in that case, we would have to take out Osaf and say that Osaf is none other than Avi Osaf, one of the three sons of Korach. And in that case, then we don't count him twice. On the other hand, Tosfos says that no. When it says Shloimeh Elokim Mishpatecha Melech Tein, does not mean that it was composed by Shloimeh. It means it was composed by David about Shloimeh. as a tefillah that Shlomo's reign should be successful. Yifrach v'yom of tzaddik, malpeh sarishesh v'iyim mincha yashivu, and that whole kapitel about how glorious his reign should be. And in fact, the last words of it are kolos tefillas David ben Yishai, that here, at this point, this was the last kapitel that David wrote, tilim is non-chronological order. So that was the last of these, and here ends the tefillas of David ben Yishai. So therefore, that would mean it was actually composed by David in honor of as a tefillah on behalf of Shlomo.
Sons of Solomon.
Yeah.
They were in the rebellion.
They were in the rebellion, then they did tshuva, and then they mokum nisbatzel lahem a gehenim. A high place was made for them in gehenim, and they named it, composed a bunch of kapitlach. Yeah. After they did tshuva, of course. Yeah. So according to that, then Shlomo is not in fact one of the composers of Tehillim. Interesting thing, by the way, that Eber comments on this. There's a Gemara in Brachas that implies that says that Kapitel Aleph and Beis of Tehillim used to be one long Kapitel. In which case, the number of Kapitlach and Tehillim would be one fewer, or at least one fewer. There's a Medrash that actually says there's 147 Kapitlach Tehillim, which how you understand that exactly, what other Kapitlach you combine there's quite a bit of discussion about. Anyway. We know that we have a minhag, we know that there's a minhag, the Friedrich Rebbe calls it in one of his letters in the back of Tehillim, minhag atik, to say your kapitel. So that's, for example, now we're saying kuf chav dalet for the Rebbe, each of us says for our own ages, v'chola v'chola. The Rebbe commented one time that it seems that David HaMelech did the same thing. Therefore, kolos tefillas David ben Yishai would actually mean kapitel ayin aleph would be the last kapitel that David said for his own age. He lived to be 70 years old. Therefore, therefore on his 70th birthday, he began saying kapitel ayin aleph. And that was the last kapitel he said while he was alive. So again, we have it as ayin beis, because kapitel aleph and beis later on was split up in two. But originally, it would have been kapitel ayin aleph, and that would have been the last one that he said. Kolos tefillas David ben Yishai, actually. It says kolos tefillas, the tefillas of David ben Yishai ended. This would be the last tefillah, the last kapitel that he said for his own age. So that's how Tehillim was written. Next, Yumiya Kosev Sifra. Yumiya wrote his own Sefer Yumiya. The Sefer Melachim, he also wrote Sefer Melachim. Now, the Sefer Melachim ends in his time. The last events in Sefer Melachim are the Churban, and a couple of decades later, Yechoniah being let out of jail. So Rashi points out, Yeshaya didn't write it because Yeshaya is still in the middle of it. First of all, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that Yeshaya was killed, so he didn't have a chance even to write his own divorce. We're going to talk about in a minute who wrote it. But in any case, he didn't write Sefer Melachim, especially because in his times, the Melachim was still ongoing. So Yumiya, who lived at the end of the time of the Melachim, he wrote that Sefer. It doesn't mean, by the way, obviously he may well have used notes that were written by the Nevi'im before him, but he put it into the form that we have it. So he wrote Sefer Melachim, the Kinnis, and he also wrote Eicha. The Pesukim in Yumiya itself describe how he dictated it to Baruch ben Neriah, his Talmud and his scribe. Next, Chizkiyahu b'seyayte kosvu, Chizkiyahu and his group. Now, what that means is that Chizkiyahu worked very hard to upgrade the ruchniistical level of the Jewish people. He made in Sanhedrin, you have the famous thing that he put a sword in front of the base medrash and announced that if people don't come and learn Torah, they're going to be pierced with a sword. So he made tremendous efforts to get rid of Avodah Zarah and to upgrade the standard of ruchnius in his kingdom. So therefore, the Talmid Chachamim who worked with him are called Sayaita. They're called his assistants. They're called the ones, basically, they're the ones who, thanks to him, they're the ones who were learning and spreading Torah. So Rashi explains, it means they were the ones who lived, now they lived quite some time after him. Chizkiyahu ruled for 25 years and then for 29 years, and then passed away. And then you have Sayaita, you have the other Chachamim who worked with him, who continued to live after him, and they're the ones who wrote several Sfarim. So Kosvu, they wrote Yeshaya. So first of all, they wrote Sefer Yeshaya. Now, again, Rashi says, Yeshaya was killed by Menashe. So therefore, he didn't have a chance to write his own Sefer. The Nevi'im usually would write their Sfarim shortly before they passed away. Like this, they realize that they're on the verge of soon they're going to be passing away, and therefore they would record their divorce. But Yeshaya didn't know that's going to happen. So there was a sudden thing that the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, how Menashe leveled various accusations against him, claiming that his divorce contradicted the Torah, and he had to run away, so he didn't have a chance to write his Sefer. So not Chizkiyah himself, he had also passed away by then, but Sayaita, the Chachamim, who learned together with Chizkiyah, thanks to Chizkiyah, and worked with him, they were the ones who wrote it. The grandfather of Menashe, yeah. When I said that Yumi wrote his Sefer and then wrote Melachim, it's Tosfos actually that says that it wasn't Yeshaya who did it because he was killed and also because he lived in the times of the kings. Anyway, yeah, so Yumi wrote, so Chizkiah and Tzedakiah, Kosvu Yeshaya, they wrote the book of Yeshaya, Mishle, they also wrote Mishle. Now usually we talk about Mishle was written by Shlomo HaMelech, but we have a pasuk in Mishle itself, in the beginning of Perek Chaf Hei, that says, Yam Eila Mishle Shlomo, also the following, the remaining seven chapters of Mishle, are also that the men of Chizkiah Melech Yehuda, which means Chizkiah v'Seyaita, who we're talking about over here, they copied them out and they strengthened and upheld them. So in other words, there was a collection of Mishle that Shlomo had written, and then there were other ones that had not yet been written down, or at least were not part of Tanakh at that point, and Chizkiah v'Seyaita made them officially part of Tanakh. So therefore, when we say that they wrote the Sefer, we don't necessarily mean the whole Sefer, we mean that they put it into its present form. You do, by the way, you find in a few places in Mishle, you'll find statements of Shlomo that are repeated, that you'll have them one time in the first 24 chapters and one time again in the last seven chapters, because the Chizkiah v'Seyaita found them, apparently, in the collection from which they wrote the last part of Mishle, and they wrote them again. So they wrote that, Shir Hashirim, the same thing, Shlomo had written it, but now they re-edited it. The Kehelas and Kehelas, same thing. All those three Sfarim were in fact written by Shlomo, but Anshei Chizkiah re-strengthened them and rewrote them and made them officially part of Tanakh.
Why are we saying that Mishle is Kodesh Kadoshim if it was rewritten?
Because the fact is, when it was rewritten, the Chizkiah v'Seyaita, the Beis Din of his time, decided that it should officially be part of Kisvei HaKodesh. So that's the point. Up until then, the Gemara mentions in Megillah, for example, the Mishnah mentions actually in Yadayim, that there are Tanoim who hold that Kehelas, at least, shouldn't have the full Kedusha of Tanakh. It's only Chochmas Shel Shlomo. It's Shlomo's personal wisdom. It's not necessarily part of Tanakh. But here we're saying that the Chizkiah v'Seyaita wrote it and officially made it part of Tanakh. Okay. Anshe Knesset Gdola Kosvu. Then the Anshe Knesset Gdola also wrote four Sfarim of Tanakh. Yechezkel, Trei Oser, Daniel, and Megillas Esther. So Yechezkel, now, so Rashi says, why didn't Yechezkel write it so hard? Anshe Knesset Gdola, as we know, Rashi points out Chagas, Chaya Malachi, Mordechai, Zerubbabel, and the whole other group that made up 120 Chachamim.
Esther
we'll talk about in a second, but let's go in order. Yechezkel. Rashi says, why didn't Yechezkel write his own Sefer? There's just we said that the Nevi'im would usually write their Sfarim shortly before they passed away. So Rashi says maybe because they weren't allowed to write Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz. So Mela, for example, when it comes to, so most of the Nevi'im lived their whole lives in Eretz Yisrael. They could write it shortly before they passed away. But Yechezkel lived and had most of his Nevuahs in Babel. So therefore, maybe Rashi says maybe he wasn't authorized to write a Sefer that would officially become part of Tanakh, but Tosfos wonders, because the fact is, we find that Yirmiyah also at the end of his life was in Chutz La'aretz. What happened after Gedaliah was assassinated, all the Jews there got scared, and they all went to Mitzrayim and forced Yirmiyah and Baruch ben Neriah to go with them, and they wound up in Mitzrayim, and afterwards, the Pashtos, we don't find that later on Yirmiyah returned to Eretz Yisrael. The Noda of Yehuda actually has a short shuvah on it, where he points out that there is, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyah, it's possible to understand that Yirmiyah himself did actually make it back to Eretz Yisrael at some point. The Jews in Mitzrayim who went there, Yirmiyah told them a very harsh nevuah, that they were going to be destroyed, that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and conquer Egypt and kill all of them, but the pasuk says, lo yashuvu ki implatim, that there will be fugitives who will be left, and so the Noda of Yehuda learns in one of his shuvahs that maybe it means Yirmiyah and Baruch themselves actually made it to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, Yirmiyah was able to write his Sefer. The other two, Melachim, we don't know when he wrote, but also, I guess, it has to be the last event of it, is during Golas Babel, so it would have to be the same thing. As far as Eicha, he wrote that before the Churban anyway, so that's not an issue.
Why can't you write
Nebuah outside Eretz Yisrael? Because the idea would be that Sfarim of Tanakh can be written only with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You want a Sefer that's going to be part of Tanakh, then it has to have the Kedusha, it has to be written in Eretz Yisrael and have the Kedusha of it. The truth is, actually, it's brought in a number of places that even Nebuah, a Novi generally can't even have Nebuah outside Eretz Yisrael. The exceptions that we find, Yirmiyah had a few Nebuahs outside Eretz Yisrael, but fine, he had lived most of his life in Eretz Yisrael. Yechezkel, also, Rashi brings on Yechezkel, that he had his first nevuahs in Eretz Yisrael, either Perek Beis or Perek Yud Zayin of Yechezkel is a nevuah of his from Eretz Yisrael. So yes, his nevuah begins, his sefer begins with the Maaseh Merkava, which took place in Babel, but previously he had already been a Novi in Eretz Yisrael as well.
It was written before the Churban?
Eicha was written before the Chor. Yeah, you have in Sefer Yirmiya, it tells the story. Yirmiya told Baruch, his Talmud, to write down, he says, write down all of the nevuahs about what's going to happen with the Chorban. And Rashi and the Midrashim explain that this is, he told him to write the original version of Megillas Eicha. Then I want you to read it publicly to the Jewish people and let them realize how bad things are going to get if they don't do tshuva and avert the Chorban. So the upshot is, the pasuk describes how it came a point, there was a fast day, and everybody's gathered together, so Baruch read it to everybody, and everybody went on, many of the people were, in fact, very, very touched by it. To make a long story short, they went to the king, Jehoiakim, at the time, and Jehoiakim was a terrible Rasha. He not only did not want to pay any attention to it, he ripped it up and threw it into the fire. Then Hashem tells Yirmiya, have Baruch rewrite it, and this time there's going to be added things. So we find that originally the Medrash says originally Eicha consisted of only what we have as Perek Aleph, Beis, and Dalet, each one with one set of Aleph Beis. Afterwards, Yirmiya was told to also add Perek Gimel, which has a triple Aleph Beis, and Perek Hay apparently was added at some point as well, either by Yirmiya or maybe by the Chachamim after him. So it was written. It was written out. At least most of it, if not all of it, before the Churban. Yeah.
Where did Yoakim in the end? He was killed.
Yoakim in the end was killed. Actually, it's Macholikus in the Medrash whether he was killed or died. But either way, he had a horrible death, and he wasn't even buried properly. Yeah. So that's how Yechezkel comes to be written by the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah, because again, the point would be that Yechezkel himself didn't have a chance to write it. So Rashi says maybe because he wasn't allowed to write it in Chutz Laaretz. The last of the Treyoser, Achagas, Chayim Malachi, they themselves are from the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah, so therefore they wrote their own Nevuahs, and they included also the nine Nevi'im from before their times, who we have relatively few Nevuahs from them, like we talked about yesterday. Daniel also lived in Bavel, so for the same reason he couldn't write his own Sefer, for it to be part of Kisvei HaKodesh. And Daniel actually was himself one of the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah. So there you go. And Esther the same thing because it also took place during Golos Bavel. Rashi also points out that Chagas Chayim Malachi knew that they were the last Nevi'im. Therefore, they wrote down their Nevuahs and they made. And as we learned in the Gemara yesterday, their Nevuahs alone are short, and as individual Sfarim, they might be lost. So they made a big book called Trei also, which includes the Nevuahs of 12 different Nevi'im. As far as Megillas Esther, by the way, it's actually, there's within the Megillah itself, you can find actually there seem to be three stages within the writing of the Megillah. You have the most of the Megillah until the middle of Perek Chof is the actual story which Mordechai wrote at the time as a letter to the Jewish people. The pasuk says afterwards, "Vayichtev Mordechai said Dvarim Eila." So Mordechai wrote from Vayihi B'Me'ach HaShverish until that point to tell the Jewish people everything that had just happened to them. Many of them, after all, they lived all over the empire. Not all of them knew the whole backstory. Then you have a couple of psukim where it describes. Then you have a couple of psukim where it describes the establishment of the Yom Tov of Purim. And then at the end you have how everybody accepted Purim, Batichtev Esther and Mordechai, that they officially wrote it and made it part of Kisvei HaKodesh. The Gemara mentions in Megillah a whole debate that they had with Anshe Knesset Hagdolah of whether it should even be written as one of the Kisvei HaKodesh, or the Goyim going to be angry at us and jealous of us. A whole discussion over there. Anyway, the point would be that when we say over here, the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah wrote Megillas Esther, what we mean is primarily that last part that describes how the Yom Tov was established, and that they, again, that they gave their seal on it, that the whole thing is now officially going to be part of Kisvei HaKodesh.
But you said that you can write it outside Eretz's room.
Well, that's the point. By the time the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah are officially putting their stamp on it, couldn't be a couple of years later, by which time they're in Eretz Yisrael. Really, during the time of the whole episode, of the whole events of the Megillah, during that whole time, there are Jews in Eretz Yisrael already. They had come with Kodesh's proclamation a few years earlier. The building of the Bis Mikdash was suspended, but there were still Jews in Eretz Yisrael at that point, including apparently enough of the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah that they could officially do it. But it also doesn't have to be necessarily that they wrote the whole thing the very next year. In fact, the Evan Ezra on the Psukim in the Megillah understands over there why we find that they have to write as Kol Toikef, they have to write with the whole firmness, the whole officialdom of it. The Evan Ezra learns that what happened was that the first year, of course, everybody celebrated. We've just been saved from Haman's Zera. But he says in the years after that, they slacked off. Hey, it was a one-off thing, it's not a big deal. So now they have to write us for Toikif. No, we have to establish a Yom Tov of Purim and make it a thing for all time. So according to that, there may have been a period of a few years after the events of the Megillah before it was actually fully written and became a part of the Kisvei HaKodesh, and it became there was an official Yom Tov of Purim. Okay, so that's how they come to write Megillas Esther.
It's interesting that there is no Megillas Chanukah.
There's no Megillas Chanukah precisely because the events of Chanukah were about 200 years after Nevuah was over. To put it in terms of actual Jewish calendar years, Chag Yisrael and Malachi's last Nevuah, here, the Kodesh's proclamation that they can go and build the second Beis Hamikdash was in the year 3390 since creation. Then you had an 18-year gap, and then in 3408, which is the second year of Dariush, is when they started rebuilding the second Beis. They started again the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. In the years in between that, the Shnas Sholosh L'Molchay, Achashverosh's third year, is 3395. The year when Esther was brought to the palace is 3399. The year with the actual events supported, with the main events supporting, with Haman's Zvera and then the Jews fighting and then defending themselves is in 3404 and 05. So now you have a few years later, 3408 is the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. Meanwhile, the Nes Chanukah, some sources put it in 3597, others in 3622. So you're talking about 180 or 200 years after the end of Nevuah. The last Nevuah, the last dated Nevuah in Tanakh, the last dated Nevuah is in the fourth year of Dariush, which is 3410. So from then until 3597 or 3622 is a gap of almost 200 years. So therefore, there couldn't be a Megillas Chanukah as part of Kisvei HaKodesh because Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah, and Ruach HaKodesh was still there. Nevuah was gone by that time. That is, in fact, by the way, an explanation. I don't want to get too, we're getting too far off topic as it is, but, you think about it, we make a very, very big deal about the Nes Pach HaShemen. And it was a tremendous nest, but one reason why we make such a big deal of it, well, one reason we should ask why the Eivishter made the nest in the first place. We know they could have used Tomei oil, there could have been that the menorah is not lit for a few days. The reason behind it is the Yidden having gone on such tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, but there was also, we realized they had a lot of Mesiavnim to fight against also. So they had reason to think, you know what, look, it's after the time of Nevuah. We don't have, or it's a time of the Eibishter's face being concealed, Hester upon him. Are we really fine? We had a tremendous nest, Rabin Biad Ma'atim and Tmeim Biad Dahurim and all that. But Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu was the Eibishter with us. Then all of a sudden you have this nest, Pach HaShemen. They went wild about it. Now that helps you understand why they make such a big deal of Nes Pach HaShemen. It showed them that even though Nevuah is gone, the Eidishter's open Nisim are still with them. Yeah. Okay, so let's continue. So they got excited about winning the war, but if it hadn't been for the Nes Pach HaShemen, okay, there's been many times, it happens in history, it's happened, Lahavdil and Goyish history as well, that Rabbim were defeated by Ma'atim. Look at the Vietnam War, for example, to take one example, but here you have, there was the Nes Pach HaShemen, that demonstrated it wasn't Stama war, and it wasn't despite the fact of all the Mesiavnim and all that, nevertheless, the Eidishter's Shechina is still openly with us. Okay, let's finish off over here. So, Ezra Kosef Sifra, Ezra wrote his own Sefer, which is Sefer Ezra, the Yachas Shal Divra HaYomim Ad Loi, and he also wrote the Yichus of Divra HaYomim until him. Now, meaning, in other words, you look at Sefer Divra HaYomim, the first chapter of it is basically a restatement of all the genealogies of Chumash Bereishis. So you have the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and from Noach to Abraham, the sons of Keturah, the sons of Esav, etc. That whole thing. It's like Rashi says over there. That's kind of like the Eidishter, like we want to kind of get them out of the way. Then from the next few prokim are genealogies of various Jewish families. Mephoshim explained basically that Ezra had whatever records are available to him that the families would keep Sifra Yuchsin, and Ezra put that information together and then created the first part of Divrei HaYomim. Then you have most of the rest of Divrei HaYomim Aleph and all of Beis is mostly a retelling of the stories from the end of Sefer Shmuel and most of Malachim with a lot of details that weren't in there before. So the point is that he wrote the Yichus of Divrei HaYomim within that part. Also, you have a lot of times it describes the Yichus of the Kohenim and Levim and various other things like that. So Ezra wrote that Ad Loi until his time. Tosfos brings a couple of other explanations that can mean up to a pasuk that begins Loi, the Loi Achim b'nei Yehoshaphat, which is a pasuk in the middle of Divrei HaYomim Beis. And there's a couple of other explanations. So Mitzayel LeRav, this supports what Rav says. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, Loi Olah, Ezra Yibavel Ad Sheyichus Asmei V'Olah. Ezra did not go up from Bavel until he wrote his Yichus, and then he went up. Uman Aske, and then the Gemara says, who finished off? Who finished off the Sefer? Nechemya ben Chachalya. Nechemya, from that time, finished off the rest of Sefer Divra Yomim. Also, he finished off the rest of Ezra. As we talked yesterday, there's a part of Sefer Ezra that's attributed to Nechemya, which is actually longer than the part that's attributed to Ezra that we talked about yesterday, why the Sefer is primarily called after Ezra. There were Malachim, but no, there were Goyish kings, and then when there were Jewish kings, there were the Hashminoyim, and later on the kings of Hordas, his family. Yeah. All right, Yom Yom Mashiach Golo Yod Shvat, the Avoda of Ordur, as the Rebbe says in the Maimer, this is what is being demanded of every one of us, Dur Hashvi, Kol Hashvi and Chavivin, as even though we're in Dur Hashvi, the fact that we're in Dur Hashvi is not our own choice, it's not our own Avoda, and it may not even be our will, but Kol Hashvi and Chavivin, we're in Ikvasa de Mashiach, and with the end of the Ikvasa, and therefore our Avoda is complete, that's a complete Dam, Shochas HaShchina, not just the Shchina, but Ikvas Shchina, that Petachtonim Hoysa. Starting Simon Zion in Shulchan Aruch, the Dinim of Birkas Asher Yotzar. Any time during the day, a person goes to the bathroom, whether Ketanim or Gdolim, he says the Bracha Asher Yotzar. You don't have to say the Bracha on the Shulchan Yotzar, even if his hands are dirty, even if he wants to daven or learn right away, even though he can't daven unless he washes hands. If he has water, he's supposed to wash his hands. Nevertheless, the Chum said to make the Bracha on the Shulchan Yotzar only in the morning, because he became like a Beria Chadasha, as we talked about earlier. And also on the Shulchan Yotzar, when a person eats, because then the Chachamim wanted that a person, that a Koyan in particular, should be in the habit because his hands are tummy midrabban, and therefore he has to wash before truma, and that's the basic reason behind the whole concept of netilas yadayim before eating. So those are the two times you make netilas yadayim, but not other times, not other times, including you went to the bathroom in the middle of the day. You wash your hands. You say Asher Yotzer, but you don't say netilas yadayim.
He has to wash his hands before.
He has to wash his hands before davening or before davening. Okay.